Africa in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Monday, June 27, 2022. 20 people have been killed in clashes between security forces and armed civilians in South Sudan's Warab state. Sudan's foreign ministry is threatening to recall its ambassador to Addis Ababa.
In an act that violates the tradition of war and international humanitarian laws, the Ethiopian army has executed 7 of our soldiers and 1 civilian who were held as captives in Ethiopia, and their bodies were exposed to the public in an inhuman way.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government declared on Monday 3 days of mourning to honor South Sudan's Minister of Irrigation and Water Resources, Manawa Peter Garkwath, who passed away in Egypt last week after a brief illness. For more on this, I spoke with my colleague John Tanza in Juba.
Today in South Sudan, the transitional government of national unity has declared 3 days of mourning to honor late Honorable Manawa Peter Garkwath, Minister of Water, Minister of Irrigation and Water Resources, who died in the Egyptian capital, Cairo, 1 week ago. The minister was flown to Cairo after he complained of chest pains here in Juba, and he was transported to Cairo. When he arrived in Cairo, the doctors, did some medical procedure to ascertain what was going on, but he didn't go through the medical procedure and he died. So his body was brought there, and the government is shutting down their offices for 3 days and fly the flag half-mast for 3 days as the country mourns the minister.
Yes, Tanza, for the government to shut down business, declare 3 days of mourning, order flags to fly at half-mast, it seems the late Honorable Manawa Peter Garkwath enjoyed quite the popularity with the South Sudanese. Why do you think that is?
Well, he's been an active member of the SPLM in opposition, and he, according to, the message of condolences that the president's office issued, signed by President Salva Kiir, President Salva Kiir described him as an active young man who has been working very hard for peace. He has been, leading student unions in the universities where he studied in. So he is one of the active young people in this country who have worked very hard to ensure that this revitalized peace agreement is implemented. And that is how the SPLM in government and the SPLM in opposition are describing him.
It also seems that he worked very well with both sides of the aisle, the SPLM in government and the SPLM in opposition. The SPLM in opposition leader, Riek Machar, issued a condolence message. So did President Salva Kiir, and he declared 3 days of mourning.
I mean, this is quite a bit of an extraordinary situation here, because I know that there are people from the opposition, high-profile people from the opposition, who died, and the government did not declare 3 days of mourning late. Manawa Peter Garkwath's case is quite unique. You're right that the opposition and the government all came together to really pay tribute to him for what he has done for this country. And so this is one occasion of its kind. But I mean, with this declaration of 3 days of mourning, we've been driving around Juba town and the markets are still open and businesses as usual. It's only the government offices that are closed down.
That was John Tanza, managing editor of the South Sudan in Focus radio program, is speaking with me from Juba this past hour.
Warap state authorities say more than 20 people were killed and scores of others injured in clashes on Saturday and Sunday between civilians and security forces in Tony North County. From Rumbek, William Sunday Mobo reports to Warap officials say tension remains high in the area.
Authorities in Warab State, Toyin North County, say 25 people, including several top military officers, were killed and dozens of others wounded when personnel from various security agencies clashed with armed civilians in Toyin North on Saturday and Sunday. Warab State Information Minister Ring Deng Ading says the fighting broke out after authorities in Toyin North dispatched security forces to recover cattle stolen by suspected raiders from Walbet Payam. He says armed civilian ambushed the security forces, killing 18 soldiers on the spot.
The disarmament forces that are located in Walbet Payam were given the orders to go and release a number of the cows in the cattle camp. So they went and they took some cattle, then the civilian took their arms and started fighting the forces. For now, I cannot tell you exactly the number because there are some people who are still coming reporting today. And they are still on the way coming back because they were scattered by the fight.
Ading is urging civilians in the area to stop taking up arms against security forces. He says the state government has assembled soldiers in Kwajuk who are waiting directives to intervene.
There is nowhere in this world that civilians took arms against the government. And we want peace and we need dialogue. Since it is the government, we are trying to engage them to drop up their arms and remain in peace. We don't want more chaos. And the government, the acting commissioner, went to the ground this morning to address the issue with them. And the army is on Warap town. And we are called off to wait until further notice.
MP Mewin Dor Arik, who represents Toyin North County in the National Legislative Assembly in Juba, has condemned the attack on the army but blames Warab state officials for suspending the Toyin North commissioner, saying there is a leadership vacuum in the county.
I condemn the incident in the strongest term possible. And this is a result of the leadership vacuum that the governor is ready at the side, commissioner has been suspended, and there is no leadership at the side.
Ading is calling on Warab state citizens to respect government institutions, including the army.
They should not exaggerate this. This is their own government. It is not themselves. And government has to be respected. Government is about everybody. And nobody can take arm against government.
This is not the first time Warab state civilian clashed with the soldiers. In 2018, nearly 100 soldiers who were dispatched to Toyin East County to disarm civilians died in clashes with civilians. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur in Rumbek Lake State.
Sudan's foreign minister says it will summon back its ambassador to Addis Ababa immediately for consultations. This after the Ethiopian military reportedly killed 7 Sudanese soldiers who were being held captives by Ethiopian forces. The minister says it will also summon the Ethiopian ambassador to Khartoum today to directly condemn the killing. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Sudanese army spokesperson Brigadier Nabil Abdallah said in a statement Sunday the Ethiopian army killed 7 Sudanese soldiers and 1 civilian. The 8 individuals were captured along the Sudan-Ethiopia border. Abdallah did not provide details as to how the 8 Sudanese ended up in Ethiopian hands. He called the killings as cowardly act which violates international law.
In an act that violates the tradition of war and international humanitarian laws, the Ethiopian army has executed 7 of our soldiers and 1 civilian who were held as captives in Ethiopia, and their bodies were exposed to the public in an inhuman way.
Ties between Sudan and neighboring Ethiopia have deteriorated in recent years over large swaths of agricultural land in the Al-Fashaga area along the Sudan-Ethiopia border. Sudan's leaders insist the land falls within its border according to an agreement that demarcated the boundary between their territories in 1902. Border clashes have erupted between Sudan and Ethiopia over the past 2 years after Sudan said it reclaimed control of Al-Fashaga area and called on Ethiopia to withdraw its troops from 2 points, saying both areas are inside Sudan. Again, Sudanese Army spokesman Brigadier Abdallah.
Sudanese armed forces would like to assure the public that this barbaric act will not go unanswered. We will respond to this cowardly act with what is suitable.
In November last year, the Sudanese army said 6 of its soldiers were killed in an attack by Ethiopian military and its militia allied in the area. On several occasions, the Ethiopian government accused Sudan for taking advantage of the deadly conflict in the Ethiopian northern Tigray region to enter Ethiopian territory. Ethiopian army officials were not immediately available for comment on the Sudanese allegation. The head of Sudanese army, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, arrived for a surprise visit to a border area of Al-Fashaga today to assess the situation. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Authorities in the Abyei administrative area are condemning renewed clashes in the area after 7 people were killed, according to an Abyei official. A group of young men from neighboring Twitch County in Warab State allegedly launched the attack over the weekend. Warab State's Minister of Information says he's not aware of the violence. Dengai Deng reports for VOA from Juba.
Abyei Special Administrative Area spokesperson Ajak Deng Mian says gunmen from neighboring Twi County killed 7 people in Abyei on Saturday and Sunday. Mian called the attack a violation of the ceasefire signed by the 2 communities in Awil 2 months ago.
It was an attack by element of Twi youth, so that village is going to be my friend. Around 6 to 5 killed outside of Abyei. 7 people killed, among them 3 children, 14, 12, and 8 children, and then 4 others killed. Instead, it was used from the village who was pursuing this group. The units came after the district got fair, and they came after this people they
Mian says he is concerned about the repeated attacks in Abyei despite the ceasefire. He warns the violation could escalate into what he calls a situation of anarchy in Warab State and Abyei.
Attacks have happened because they come and happen in Abyei, boundary in Abyei area, and this one even they have crossed the river, and as I told you, something outskirts of Abyei. So they have been reported to the Pathfinder Committee. Then we don't see any response. We don't know what is happening. They said they will deploy the forces. The Abyei forces are here. Sometimes they have issues of logistics. The road is blocked between Abyei and Wau, in place between Abun and Aton. Cars are being looted.
Warab State Minister of Information Ring Deng Ading says he was not informed about the latest attack in Abyei.
No, I'm not aware. I just came last night and I was so exhausted and my phone off. Now I am going to, in office and put my phone on charge. And I will also call on the other side. So as well, you will call me back later, you will hear. The full detail.
Dozens of people were killed and scores of others injured in March when suspected armed militia from Twi County attacked the Anet market in Abyei. Warab officials said some community members in Twi County believe part or even all of Anet belongs to them. The incident prompted President Salva Kiir to form an 11-member committee headed by the Vice President for Service Cluster, Hussein Abdelbaghi, to investigate the root causes of conflict between the Ngok Dinka and the people of Twi County. The committee secretary, Diu Mathok, said in May the panel detained four government officials from Abyei and Warabe State for allegedly fueling the conflict between the Ngok Dinka of Abyei and the Tweed community. In May, the United Nations Interim Security Forces for Abyei, or UNISPA, said it was deeply concerned about a surge in criminal activity in the area. UNISPA said despite efforts to maintain peace in the region, criminal elements continue to commit acts of violence. Last month, Information Minister Michael Makuei announced the national government would send SSPDF forces to curb rising insecurity in the Abyei administrative area, saying UNISPA failed to protect citizens and their property in the area. Government forces have yet to be dispatched to Abyei. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
Listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudan police arrested the managing director of Kenya Commercial Bank in Juba. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you do on the weekends?
Over the weekend, I happen to read my books, the novels, and sometimes I go for my leisure time, play pool tables, and watch football because I'm a fan of Arsenal.
Weekends, most of the time I listen to music, I go to the beach, I hang out with my friends. Sometimes I go to the clubs, but mostly, most of my time I'm always with my mom.
It is very good. Weekend is something where you can enjoy your life with either your boyfriends, girlfriends, your friends and colleagues sometime. So it can be in form of swimming, playing footballs and watching football. I'm a great fan of football.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA. South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. South Sudan National Police arrested the head of the Kenya Commercial Bank in Juba over the weekend on sexual harassment charges. A South Sudanese woman accused the bank's managing director, Roba Wago, of sexually harassing her for over a year. The bank manager's lawyer calls the complaint a conspiracy cooked up by the bank's national staff to get rid of Wago. Manyang David Mayar has more for VOA from Juba.
30-year-old Biaja Beatrice says she enjoyed working for Kenya Commercial Bank in Juba since 2015 until 2018, when she alleges managing director Roba Wago began sexually harassing her. Beatrice was an IT officer at the bank. Beatrice says the harassment began when she installed software on Wago's computer.
That was when he started. That Beatrice, do you know that you are very beautiful? Then he started giving me weird compliments. I stood up and I looked at him straight at his eyes. Surprisingly, and also annoyed at the same time. Then he told me, why are you looking at me like that? Are you undermining me because you see that I am very slim and old, I cannot handle you? If you give me the chance, I will surprise you on bed.
Beatrice says the sexual harassment continued for years.
Whenever I go to his office, I will find that there is nothing wrong with his internet, there is nothing wrong with his machine, he's working fine. When I ask him, why did you call me, he will acknowledge to me that he just missed me, he just wanted to see me. That's why he called me. Several times it happened, then I had to warn him. I said, in case you're calling me, call me for a genuine business reason.
Beatrice says after she revived his sexual advances, her work relationship with Wago went from bad to worse. She says Wago could hold her responsible for offenses she had not committed. Beatrice says she resigned last week and filed a sexual harassment case with the South Sudan National Police Service. Mayending, a member of parliament in the reconstituted Transitional National Legislative Assembly, says security agents and two military generals allegedly tried to block Wago's arrest.
I called the lawyer and went to the police station and I talked with the deputy head of the Northern Division. So at around 11, the MD of KCB submitted himself to the police. Ours is to ensure that justice is followed. Irrespective of whom you are, either you are South Sudanese or you're a foreigner, either you are rich or poor, we should all be treated equally.
Major General Daniel Justin, a spokesperson of the South Sudan National Police Service, says Wago will be arraigned in court after police finish questioning him. Justin denies two generals tried to obstruct Wago's arrest.
I think they might have been advised to let him finish his work and then he goes there or something of that kind. I'm not aware of what happened. But he came by himself voluntarily and he was arrested and the case went on.
Lawyer David Misuk Michael says the allegations against Wago are mere conspiracies to get rid of his client as managing director at KCB. He says Beatrice's charge of sexual harassment was first presented to the bank's management, but there was no evidence to back up her claims.
It was an issue that happened in 2018. And then they formed a disciplinary committee because they have the internal memo dealing with such issues of sexual harassment, whatever. So the result of that committee came out that it was a lie. You know, it was not true.
Misuk says Beatrice resigned from the bank because of her conduct, not sexual harassment. He also alleges Beatrice's complaint is stemmed from a conspiracy among disgruntled bank employees who want to get rid of Wago in their fight for salary increase. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
African nations of Gabon and Togo have been admitted into the Commonwealth Group of Nations on Saturday, bringing the membership to 56 countries. The admission of the two new members was a highlight of the Commonwealth Heads of Government Meeting 2022 Summit, which closed on Saturday in Kigali. During a final news conference, the Commonwealth Secretary General, Baroness Patricia Scotland, welcomed the two new members.
The tragedy in our world is that there is not one country I can think of who can honestly say they are without error, in need of improvement, or opportunities to change. So what our Commonwealth is doing is coming together in humility, looking at what works, looking at what doesn't work, and helping to strengthen us all. So we welcome both Gabon and Togo in the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood and a determination that we need a safer and better world, and we're better together than we ever will be apart.
The host of the summit, Rwanda's President Paul Kagame, on Saturday defended his country's record on human rights. Some rights activists have criticized the choice of holding the summit in Kigali because of what they say is Rwanda's poor rights record. Kagame also brushed off criticism of his government's agreement to take in asylum seekers deported from Britain. Rwanda agreed to take and help process the asylum requests of the deportees who entered Britain illegally.
This migration issue is something that people will have different views about. But I have tried to explain to you where we come from in dealing with it the way we deal with it. So for us, are we committing any crime in accepting these people to come here? But if they don't come, we won't complain. It's not like we are dying to have people come to us.
The Commonwealth's members predominantly are from British colonies, but increasingly former French colonies and other nations are joining. Ukraine's foreign minister says Kyiv is ready to export much-needed grain to Africa as soon as Russia lifts its Black Sea blockade. In a U.S.-arranged online briefing to journalists Thursday, he blamed Russia for the global food crisis affecting millions of Africans and called for more African support against Moscow. VOA's Mohammed Youssef has this report from Nairobi.
Ukraine Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba said his country and Africa need each other to overcome the global food crisis, which he blamed on Russia's aggression.
We want to export our agricultural products to you as badly as you want to receive them. And there is only one reason why both ends of this supply chain, which is us and you, cannot benefit from these exports. It's the Russian blockade of Ukrainian ports as a result of the Russian military aggression against Ukraine.
Ukraine is a major supplier of wheat, corn, and sunflower oil to African countries. And since Russia's invasion began in February, Africa has faced food and cooking oil shortages that have left an estimated 400 million people on the continent food insecure. While drought and conflict have also played a role in the food crisis, Kuleba focused on the actions of Russia. He said Russian forces have taken 400,000 tons of grain crops from Ukraine.
Russians also steal agricultural equipment from Ukrainian farmers. Tractors, combine harvesters and other tools in Donetsk, Kherson, Kharkiv and Sumy regions of Ukraine. Russian forces have riddled Ukrainian fields with mines to prevent farmers from cultivating their crops for years. According to the recent preliminary estimates, about 13% of Ukrainian territory has been contaminated by Russian mines and other explosive remnants. This creates threats of a multi-year global food crisis.
Fred Munene is an agronomist and farmer in Kenya. He says Africa, for now, shall fight to get the food stock in Ukraine out and invest in its farm to be food secure.
We mean impossible to get away. Or now we are going to solve the problem on short term and also on long term. Short term is getting the food that is already produced and this is only available in those two countries. Long term, look for other suppliers also or construct industries in Africa who will be supplying the fertilizers and other farm inputs because that is the biggest challenge.
Kuleba says Africa can play a role in ending the conflict between the two neighbors.
African states have a crucial role in this and many already work together with us to achieve it. African capitals matter and they do influence Russia's position.
However, African countries on the UN Security Council have been reluctant to pressure Russia based on historical ties to Moscow and current geopolitical concerns. Mohammed Youssef for VOA News, Nairobi.
And that's all we have prepared for you this Monday. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.